depressed.
And I'm aggravated.
I'm just kidding. I'm not depressed. I'm Tamara.
And I'm still aggravated.
Okay.
But I'm also Rel.
Okay.
Rel. Welcome
to Fearful Friends Podcast.
Are we actually on?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Well, I feel like it's been a while since we've chitty-chatted.
It hasn't. It was a week.
Well, it feels like it's been an eternity.
Yeah.
I don't know why. It has been a week, hasn't it? We recorded last Friday?
Yeah.
We did. That's insane. I also still feel like it's Wednesday.
Oh, I don't. Man, it's been a long fucking week.
It has been a long week. Are you guys so slowing down yet?
No.
No. I feel like we started to in the beginning of the week. Like, I remember like Tuesday, I was going to work and oh my God, it was like, or no, I was coming home from work. It was 6:30. Normally the turnpike is like bumper to bumper, super packed, especially when I get to my exit, like everybody's going home and there was no traffic. Like I was the only car for like half a mile ahead of me and half a mile behind me. There was like nobody getting off on the ramp. I was like, wow, it's happened. All the snowbirds went home in one day.
No, I think.
Then it didn't happen.
They just.
I think they just took the day off.
Yeah.
From being annoying. And then they all came out today to cut me off. I had 5 different elderly people who could barely see over their dashboards cut me off.
It's going to be all right.
I digress.
It's going to be all right.
Is it though? Is it though?
I hope so. Fuck.
Okay.
Sick of them.
Me too. How's your week at work been?
Wild. It has been.
Do you want to share with the class? I've also had a crazy week. I can't wait to talk about it.
One of my tellers got fired, which like rightfully so, she deserves it.
Is it a good riddance moment?
Yeah. Also, like she had to do like an interview with HR because of
like an
the
exit
reason.
Interview?
The reason that she got fired. And
is it theft?
No.
Oh.
She was being like dishonest and then she got into like an altercation with another employee and kind of
like.
Was
it that day that you got sick?
Yes, it was. Anyway, she threw me under the bus.
Sure did.
For like one of the reasons she was getting fired for, saying, oh, Tamara taught me how to do that. So now I have to have an interview with HR.
Are you going to get fired?
No.
Okay.
Because I didn't teach her. She just, you know, trying to save face and not get fired.
Face. She's just bringing down people with her.
So
it's kind of fucked up.
Tamara taught me. Tamara specifically told you not to do it. Tamara caught you doing it and told you not to do it. So,
mom.
You know, whatever. Anyway, also, we have another employee who has recently been diagnosed with cancer. And he took this week off, took vacation time to start radiation.
I almost just made a really inappropriate joke. Not the time rail.
No. Not yet. And then he...
He took some time off to play with his balls. Okay.
No.
Cut that out.
He, we get like a notification, or my boss gets a notification that his lending, like his NMLS, has now been linked to a different bank as of like 3 days ago. And we were like, that's weird. And it's a bank that he
get another job?
Used to work for. Yeah. So you're so like, you just ruin stories.
I know. Matt tells me that literally all the time. He goes, shut the fuck up and listen to the people's story. Let them finish it. Just shut up. Sorry, everyone. Go on.
So my boss is like, oh, that's really weird. So today, so that was yesterday. Today, she calls me. She's like, I am going to drive around. I'm going to be a little bit late. She's like, I'm going to drive around to these other banks and see if I see his car.
That's so sneaky.
So she thinks she sees it at this one bank, at one of the branches. So she comes in and calls that branch and she's like, hi, can I speak to so-and-so? And they're like, oh, he's not here. He's at training right now. So he lied about having cancer.
Wait.
We
He didn't have cancer?
I don't.
Maybe my prostate joke stands.
Maybe he did have cancer. Maybe he does. And he's just seeing this as an opportunity to like.
Wait, your prostate's not your balls. Dang it, my joke doesn't stand. Okay.
Like, we don't really know, but also, like, when you take vacation time and you also have, like, to go work, like, you can't work at two banks.
No, that's a conflict of interest.
Yeah. So, it's just weird. Like, did he lie about having cancer? And, like, we think that, like, all those doctor's appointments that he was going to, he was maybe going to some interviews.
Probably.
It was weird.
Did he think he was just going to get away with, like, working at two banks at the same time?
I think he was just never going to. Oh, because he also texted my boss and said, this has been really hard on my body. I don't know when I'll be able to come back. Yesterday.
Why doesn't he just quit?
Yeah, like, why not just be honest? Like, what does he think? He wants to, like, go try it out and see if he, like, likes it for the week over there. And if not, he'll come back here.
Or maybe so he just, weird. Like, needed an excuse to cash in all his vacation time or something.
Yeah.
Because I know, like, I have a coworker that decided to get a new job, and my company straight up told him that, you know, your vacation time is not earned. It's, like, I don't remember what they fucking said, but they weren't going to give him any of his vacation time. And he had, like, 60 hours of vacation time and, like, 40 hours of sick time, and they, like, refused to pay it out. And I was just like, you need to fucking call HR. Like, we earn that shit. We make literally 1 hour vacation time a week. We fucking earn that shit. You know?
Yeah.
So, they be getting ruthless out here. So, maybe that's why he decided to go that route. Real fucked up, though. That's, like, bad karma. That's, yeah. Like, now you're definitely going to get prostate cancer because yeah. The universe heard you say that.
Oh, whatever. It was so weird. But.
Well, that's fun.
Yeah,
it pumps your day full of excitement.
Yeah. Who lies about having cancer?
Who the fuck does that?
Maybe he does. I don't know. I don't want him to have cancer, then why are I guess. You getting
a second job. Take a fucking load off.
Ugh. Whatever. He was weird anyway, so it's fine.
So are they going to fire him now?
Yeah, I mean, they have to like prove it. I told my boss, just text him and say, hey, drop your keys in the night drop. We know what's going on.
Can you do that?
I mean, so they, HR, like, scrutinizes, like, everything you want to say.
Yeah.
And it's so annoying.
Yeah.
Because
they're afraid that somebody's going to sue them.
Yeah, she can't even just say, like, she was so paranoid about, like, can I even text him and ask if he's okay? And I'm like, he's
right, because
having cancer.
Then they could be like, you're texting the employee when they're off the clock.
Yeah, like, just so silly. But yeah. Honestly, all you have to do is tell them, we know what's going on, drop your keys. Because you can't have the bank's keys. Like, you need to give them back.
Oh, that's so weird. Yeah. That's not good. That's not good. Goodbye.
Yeah.
Hope you don't have cancer, but shouldn't have lied about it.
Yep. Yep.
So.
It was so weird in that day, too. Like, at the beginning of the day, I was like, you know, should we, like, send him some flowers or should we like do something?
And I'm glad you didn't.
Yeah.
What if you did? What if you all pooled together? What if you guys pooled your money and was like, here's $1,000 that we put together for you, put it towards your chemo treatment? And he probably would have taken it and been like, gee, thanks. Now I'm gonna take an extra couple weeks off. Don't know when I'll be back though.
No, we were gonna put maybe $5 in each and
that's not going to do anything for chemo.
No. But we could maybe buy him some flowers. And like a good get well card.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Cards are getting expensive these days.
Go to the value section.
The dollar store. Which is not. Now, did you see that thing? They have a cap of $7 now at the dollar store. What the fuck's that about?
I know. Gone are the
Change
days.
Your name. At yeah. least the Dollar General, you can say things are generally a dollar.
Or they're generally not a dollar.
I don't know. Like, but whatever. It aggravates me. I am aggravated.
Yeah.
Still.
Just stay out of that section. They keep it separate.
I actually haven't been to the Dollar Tree in a while.
I love the Dollar Tree. You heard that? It's a ghost.
What was that?
I have a kid and a husband and a dog. Hey. I don't know.
Hey! I just realized you moved out of your haunted house.
I did, yeah.
Aw. Mm-hmm. That ghost is probably really lonely.
Yeah.
Oh, that's really sad. She doesn't even have the other people on the other side of your duplex to play with either.
She can hang out with all the mold. Sometimes there's rats.
Gross. But yeah.
Totally. I live in a nice neighborhood. I just want to put that out there.
You do. There should not be rats. I think it's just like there's so many people here, like so close together that there's a lot of garbage.
And also we had like over across, you know, they cleared out all that land.
Oh.
So that's when it started happening.
All the animals.
Yeah.
They gotta go find somewhere to live. Okay. I have a story to tell you. I have two stories. And then I'll actually tell you my story.
Oh, you wrote a story?
I did. Did you write one? Did you write a story too?
Yeah.
You lying?
No, I swear I wrote one.
Well, I wish I would have known that because I would have fucking relaxed on Wednesday instead of spending 8 hours in front of a computer.
Oh, okay. All right.
Are you serious?
Yeah. I'm sure yours is much better than mine.
I'm going to cut you.
It was my turn.
We talked about this.
We did?
Yes. I asked you 4 times that night that you left. I said, am I writing a story or are you? And you said, you. I'll edit the episode. Hey. Okay. That's fine. Hey, we could probably record both tonight.
We could.
We could. It depends on what time. I'm already sleepy. All right.
It's not even 8 o'clock, ma'am.
I am old. And I have a rash on my belly. Which the listeners don't need to know about.
But now they do.
But they won't know details. Use your imagination. Okay.
Don't use your imagination. That's so much worse.
It's called lose some fucking weight, Rel. Okay? So today, I just want to like start out by saying everyone is insane. I just got like so many like dumb annoying questions today that I just want to like fucking blow my brains out.
Like, let's hear it.
This one lady, she like corners me and she's just like, ma'am, can you help me? And I was just like, yeah, but like I'm clearly like my hands are full. I'm like literally out of breath, like running up front because I forgot something. And then she stops me and then I'm just like, yeah, what's up? And then she's just like, oh, only if you have time. Oh, I just hate to put you behind. And I'm just like, what do you need? What's up? I'm already here. Which, like, it really annoys me. Spit it out, you fuck.
I know.
And then she's just like, I'm just looking at the price of this ice cream. This says $4.99. Yes? And I'm like, yeah. Are you asking me what the tag says? Well, it just almost never goes to $4.99 on sale. I mean, that's $2 off. And I'm like, yeah, it's $4.99.
Oh, my God.
And then she wanted me to take the ice cream up front and price check it. And I wanted to smack her. No, I'm not price checking it. I was like, it's fine. It'll ring up. Anyways, that wasn't the story I wanted to tell you, but I just thought of it and it just made me, again, aggravated. The second thing that got me today was this other woman who she was looking for some fucking weird kefir thing. And, you know, I looked. I couldn't find it for her. It's not something that I can bring in. And then she... It's so quiet in here. Oh, my God.
The air conditioning was turned off.
We, like, happened to be in the produce department. She was, like, looking at some apples. And she was just like, oh, you know that product, Appeal? And I was like, oh, no, I'm not familiar with it. And she goes, oh, okay, well, don't use it because it was made by Bill Gates and it never washes off your skin. You can never get it off your skin. He made it to control us. And I was just like, okie dokie. Just like walked away. So then I Googled it, and of course, the first fucking thing that comes up is, like,
inaccurate information coming out about the brand appeal. These Twitter posts are saying blah, 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 blah. Here's the facts. Here's the bunked facts. You know, like,
it was proven wrong by Google.
By Google.
Like, in the first 10 seconds of me looking it up. So there was that. I'm just like,
what is the product?
It's like, she was looking at apples, and apparently appeal, A-P-E-E-L, is like, it's some kind of like a bio spray that can be used to like extend the life of produce.
Okay.
So I was told by my manager, because I thought this was so funny, I immediately went up to my manager and told her the whole thing. I was like, this bitch is nuts! And she just like rolled her eyes. She's just like, we don't use that product on any of our produce, first of all. Second of all, it's been debunked. Like, that's fucking fake news that just people keep pulling out their ass just because they watch some fucking YouTube video on it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's like, and not only that, but like, I was looking into the actual product that they're talking about, and it's like, it's made to be consumed. People are crazy. I'm just over it. The fucking Trumpers, the people, like, Bill Gates doesn't give a fuck about us. He doesn't care about us. What does he want to do? Spread some weird shit on our hands? Oh, you could never wash it off. Is he just giggling in his fucking mansion about it? Like,
also, like,
who fucking cares?
All the other shit that we consume, right? Like, calm down.
This bitch is wearing shoes from Walmart. They might as well say, like, great value on the fucking cuff. Yeah. Obviously made in China, probably covered in pesticides and bug shit.
Yeah.
Like, shut the fuck up. Yeah. I don't want to hear it. She also looked like she was wearing a trash bag.
Okay.
Made of, like, rainbow-colored pieces of plastic. You're a walking piece of poison. Like,
right.
Anyways, there was that. And then, so, a while ago, do you remember that story I told you about the Instacart shopper that, like, went off on me?
Yeah, and then he went and complained about you.
He stroke again!
Oh, God.
But this time it wasn't me. So he had already hit the vitamin manager, me, the bulk manager, and then the final straw was he, like, got the deli manager. He, like, fucking went off on her. He is, like, insane, imbalanced. He was, like, screaming at the top of his lungs in the store, calling her every name in the book. Like, she still, this happened like 2 weeks ago, and she still has to get escorted out to her car because he said he was going to come back and catch her in the parking lot. All because we didn't help him shop his whole fucking order. Yeah. So, like, this all happened. My manager gets involved and, like, calls Instacart and is like, here's the situation. Like, we're done. Like, he's done this to 4 employees, and those are the ones that spoke out about it. He could have done this to more. He's not shopping his fucking orders. He's making us do all of it. He's being extremely rude, violent, aggressive, verbally abusive.
And he smells.
And he fucking reeks. You can smell him the second he walks through the door. So he got fired the next day from Instacart. And he got trespassed from our store. But the next day, he came back in, wanted to cuss out my manager for getting him fired. So, like,
no, babe, you got you fired.
I know. So, she, like, wouldn't let him in the store. She's just like, I will call the cops if you cross this threshold. Because he got trespassed.
Yeah.
You know, he made threats. And so they were, like, talking, like, in the little cart corral. And what a lot of people do not realize is that our cart corral is, like open across the top. So there's, like, different rooms. Kind of one of those rooms is like where we have our like Instacart shopper room for like our shoppers mm-hmm. that work for us, so like we can go in that room and like listen to the whole conversation.
Right.
So there were like 7 of us just in that room, just like quietly giggling about him like yelling at our boss. And and then of course he brought me up. He's that dairy manager never has anything on the shelf when I need it. What am I supposed to do? Just walk away? Blah, 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 blah. And I'm just like, I didn't do anything. Like, this fight was not between me and you. That happened months ago.
Right.
Like, go fuck yourself. But now I never have to see him again. I never have to hear his gross conversations with whatever slag he's hooking up with that week.
Ew.
Like, the fact that I know that is bad because he's just a fucking Instacart shopper. Like, I don't need to know your life like that. Anyways, it's nice to actually have a story to tell. It's story time.
Story time.
It never happens. Every week you go, how's work? And I go, it's fine.
Same old, same old.
I also was just told this week that I have to learn how to run a register. I'm not happy about it.
I miss running a register.
I mean, like, a part of me does too, because it was just like so easy and like no responsibility. Just literally like smile and scan, you know? It was just like brainless, you know? But like, I don't have time to even do my job.
Right, right.
Like, I'm constantly getting yelled at about my overtime. Like, you're already trending at 2 minutes over and it's only Tuesday. And I'm just like, bitch, I've been working one day this week. Calm down. Like, they literally track it every single day. I worked 2 minutes over on Monday. I worked 3 minutes over on Tuesday. Oh my God, you're going to go 5 minutes into overtime. Fuck off. So, yeah, I don't know when I'm going to have to squeeze time in to fucking run a register.
Yeah, off the clock. Do it on your lunch break.
I don't fucking know. I'm just like over it. And they like, you know, we had this. We had this like team meeting, you know, and their morale booster was to tell everyone that if you don't like the rules, if you don't like the fact that we have to run a register, you can find another job. They said that to the team.
Wow.
Yeah. I felt so loved by corporate. I felt so appreciated. Irreplaceable, if you will.
Irreplaceable. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wow. So there's that.
I'll come run a register.
Come on over. Actually, we do have a couple positions open that I'd be great for.
I charge like $25 an hour. So,
like, I will literally just be a cashier if I can keep my pay.
Right?
Hello?
Remember when we would get like those really, really big orders? You were just like,
I miss it.
I love that.
I miss it. I miss like always challenging myself to hit the, you know, the items per minute goal.
Yeah.
Like, bitch, I'm 25. What are you? 10?
Mm-hmm. I really miss it. I feel like that when I get, like, customers that come in to make transactions, but they're, like, business customers, so they have, like, 15 transactions, no one likes it. And I'm like, give me it. I got it.
Yeah,
and it's always cash. And I'm like,
I do miss counting cash.
Yeah.
And I miss rolling coins, too.
Oh, I hate rolling coins. I had to do that today. I never do that. I will put that off and put it off for, like, months. Hold on. My boss is calling me. Pause.
Oh, no. Jeez Louise. Also, Tamara, you and your big mouth. Telling everyone to branch.
Yeah. We have, like, four people in our branch.
Shmiculous.
So, do you have a story for me?
I do. Do you want to hear it? Also,
yeah.
Look at this cute dog. Sorry.
Oh!
Getting a bath.
I almost just threw up in my mouth.
Mm.
Tried to burp. That was a mistake.
Yummy. All right. Are you ready?
Yes.
This week I was trying super hard not to do a story that was super dark and, you know, full of child murder.
Do you say that every week?
I feel like I do.
Okay.
But there's really no murder in this story.
Okay.
There are deaths, but there's no murder. And it's not a cult.
Okay.
We're really coming up in the world.
Yeah.
So let's dive into the unbelievable survival story of Julianne Kopke. Julianne was born on October 10th, 1954, in Lima, Peru, to parents Maria and Hans Wilhelm. Both parents were working at Lima's Museum of Natural History at the time. They were both super brilliant in their fields. Hans Wilhelm studied zoology and Maria studied ornithology, which is birds. I looked it up.
Mm.
And because of their career choices, Julianne grew up with love and appreciation of nature. When Julianne was 14, she and her parents moved from Lima to a research station that they founded in the Amazon rainforest called Penguana. And they were looking looking forward to studying the unexplored biodiversity that the area had to offer.
What a life.
I know. You just drop it and go, you know?
My parents were like a plumber and like...
Hey, you make really good money plumbing.
Like...
Not zoology good money, but...
I'd like to be in the Amazon right now.
In the Amazon. Sorry. I think of that every single time.
I don't know what that's from.
Finding Nemo?
Nope.
It's a piranha. They live in the Amazon. That stupid little girl with the braces?
No.
Okay. Well. So it's here in the beautiful Amazon rainforest that Julianne began to learn life skills that would end up saving her life in just a few years' time. She once told the New York Times, quote, "I grew up knowing that nothing is really safe, not even the solid ground I walked on." She began to learn about the plants and animals that inhabited the area and all the potential dangers associated with them. So while Julianne was being essentially homeschooled in Panguana, she learned that she'd have to return to Lima to finish classes so that she'd be able to graduate, basically. I guess like the homeschooling wasn't getting her all the credits she needed.
Mm-hmm.
So in December of 1971, she's 17 at the time. She was ready to graduate from high school. She had all of her credits and all that. Her mother flies in to be with her ahead of time. Maria originally wanted the two of them to fly back to Panguana on the 19th or 20th of December so that they could spend the holidays with their dad. But because Julianne's graduation ceremony wasn't until the 23rd. And also, like, that's weird, right? To have graduation in the middle of, like,
mm-hmm.
in December. Right. Not only in December, but, like, the week of, like, a pretty big holiday.
Yeah.
And I feel like in that part of, like, is that South America? Oh, my God. I'm so bad at geography. Is that South America? It's not just me.
It's not just you.
Well, I feel like in that part of the country, there are a lot of, like, I feel like Catholicism's a big thing. So they would celebrate Christmas.
Are they in Peru?
Peru, yeah. Yes, that's totally South America.
Yeah.
Oh, thank goodness. Woo!
You need to stop doing that to us.
Sorry. It's better than me just, like, saying things wildly, which I just did. Anyways.
But, so, like, they're on the other side, so, like, their winters are summer, and, like, we graduate in summer. I don't know.
Oh. I guess. Do you think the seasons have anything to do with graduation? I mean, I don't know. Whatever. She's graduating in December.
Okay.
2 days before Christmas. Yeah, her ceremony wasn't until the 23rd. So she convinced her mom to stick around, and they ended up booking a flight back home on the 24th with Lanza Airlines. Julianne's dad warned Maria specifically about flying with Lanza Airline, but because it was, you know, the week of Christmas, it was peak holiday travel season, and they wanted to get back home to celebrate Christmas with their family. Their, you know, their options were extremely limited, and every other airline was already fully booked. So instead of waiting like he suggested until after the holidays, they were like, fuck it, let's do it. Bad idea.
Mm-hmm.
So Julianne's father was worried for good reasons. Lanza Airlines had a horrible reputation when it came to safety. In fact, the Lockheed L-188 Electroplane that they were booked on was the last plane that the airline even had, because the rest had already either been phased out, lost in accidents, or grounded permanently as inoperable.
They had one plane.
They had one plane left. I would hardly consider that to be an airline.
No.
Yeah. So that's comforting. But in any case, Maria and Julianne pushed aside any worries and carried on with their plans to board Lanza Flight 508 on Christmas Eve of 1971.
What kind of plane was it?
A Lockheed L-188 Electra plane. Are you looking at pictures?
Mm-hmm.
If you look up her name... there's pictures of, I think, the plane before takeoff.
Okay, it looks like a normal plane.
It looks like a plane, like a smaller one, but...
Yeah.
So, she's seated next to her mother near the back of the 86-passenger plane. Things are initially going pretty smoothly. They're eating the sandwiches that were served halfway through the flight, and Julianne was looking out the window, and they start to fly into a thunderstorm. A crazy thunderstorm. The sky turns black. There's lightning all around them. And the turbulence starts. Julianne wrote in her memoir titled When I Fell from the Sky that, quote, daylight turns to night and lightning flashed from all directions. People gasp as the plane shakes violently. Bags, wrapped gifts, and clothing fall from overhead lockers. Sandwich trays soar through the air and half-finished drinks spill onto passengers' heads. People scream and cry. Unquote. her mother, who is already a nervous flyer, looks at her and says, quote, I hope this goes all right. Just as a flash of white light strikes the wing of the plane, damaging one of the motors and sending the plane into a nosedive. Julianne remembers clearly her mother saying in an eerily calm voice, now it's all over. She said, like, everything else, like, tuned out. And, like, she said those were the only words that she heard. And her mom was, like, calm. It was so creepy. So the plane quickly started disintegrating in midair. Before she knew it, Julianne was hurtling through the air, still strapped into her seat. But the plane, the passengers, and her mother were gone. She said, quote, the next thing I knew, I was no longer inside the cabin. I was outside in the open air. I hadn't left the plane. The plane had left me. When she realized the reality that she was free-falling 10,000 feet into the middle of the Peruvian rainforest, she lost consciousness.
Oh, good. Okay.
Right. And turns out that probably saved her life. Because, yeah. You know, when you're, like, in a car accident, you tense up right before, you just fuck everything up. Yeah. The trick is to just be loosey-goosey. So, somehow, the canopy of the rainforest cushioned her fall, and then... Also, like, the, you know, she was still strapped into, like, her row of seats. So, I guess that caused some wind resistance. So, it kind of, like, slowed her down a little bit before she hit the ground. So, she awoke on the jungle floor and began assessing her injuries. She was dizzy and confused. So, she assumed that she had a concussion. Her collarbone was also broken. And she had several gashes on her body. But in the grand scheme of things... All of these are minor injuries, considering she legit should have died. Like,
right,
she splattered on the ground
from the sky.
She lost consciousness again at this point, probably, you know, in shock. And it took her about half a day to finally stand up. And when she did, her first task was to find her mom. She spent an entire first day searching for her, but couldn't find any signs of anyone. Like, no wreckage, no... people, nothing. She was 100% on her own. So she came across a small stream and she starts thinking about all the lessons that she learned growing up in the jungle with her parents. Her dad had taught her that if she was ever lost in the jungle, just look for water and follow it downstream, because a small stream will flow into a bigger one and then into a bigger one, and eventually you'll run into some form of civilization. So she began.
Thank God I'm learning this now.
I know.
I feel like we already know a lot of this just from, like, watching a lot of Naked and Afraid.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
I forgot that show existed.
You know, I was actually going to put in here, like, all the little things about all the bugs and animals and all the dangers. And I was just like, Tamara knows. Like, yeah. We watch that shit all the time. They're always in the rainforest. So I lost my place. Sorry, everyone. So she began her journey walking downstream, sometimes walking, sometimes swimming. Of course, trying to stay in the middle of the river because her father taught her that piranhas were only dangerous in the shallows, which is something that I just learned. I did not know that.
Why?
Why are they only dangerous in the shallows? I don't know. It's worth a Google. Okay. I did not look it up because piranhas are ugly bastards. I don't like them. But yeah,
And still, even with, you know, facing all those dangers, she said, she wrote in her book, quote, "I was often afraid, but never of the jungle." So strong.
Never afraid of the jungle. That's
right?
Exactly what I'd be afraid of.
So what were you afraid of? I guess being alone would suck.
Yeah. Spiders.
I think spiders are like the worst of your worries. I mean, the least of your worries. You gotta think, like, there's caiman in the water. Venomous snakes. Venomous plants.
Yeah.
But flies. You know, that lay eggs in your skin.
Got plus some of those coming up.
Dark.
And it's hot. It's so hot and humid.
I would die just from that. On day 4 of her trek, she began hearing the call of the king vultures, who only circle in great numbers when something is dead. She followed the sounds and spotted a row of seats from the plane. Like, finally, she has found something of the plane. At first, she was hopeful that she would find her mother, but what she came across was absolutely horrifying. There were 3 passengers still strapped into their seats. They had all hit the ground head first with such force that they were half buried in the earth and their feet were pointing straight up to the sky. She could identify that one of the passengers was a female and took her shoes off to check her toes. And after doing that, she could
see if it was her mom's feet.
Yeah, because the toenails had polish on them and her mom never wore nail polish. So that's how she knew it wasn't her mom. Which is like, I couldn't. I mean, like, my mom, she got her toe stuck in a gear of a bicycle one time and she has a scar on her toe. I guess I could identify that. But my dad, I think, also has the same exact scar on his toe. There were a lot of people getting their toes stuck in bicycle chains back in the day. That's why they always told me, don't bicycle while you're wearing flip-flops.
Yeah.
So while she was searching the passengers for anything that she could use, she found a bag of sweets, which would be the only food that she had for the rest of her time in the rainforest. Around this time, the search for the fallen plane and any of its survivors was underway. It was the biggest search and rescue mission in Peru's history, but because of how thick the rainforest canopy was, they couldn't locate any sign of the wreckage. Julianne could literally hear the rescue planes and helicopters searching for her just above the trees, but had no way of getting their attention. And then there was silence. They had moved on, and she was on her own to find her way. By day 9, Julianne was starving, near exhaustion, and her wounds were riddled with maggots and infection.
And the botfly larva.
Do you remember that from mm-hmm. Naked and Afraid? Oh, and Monsters Inside Me. You remember
yes,
that show?
Yes, I was just going to say.
They like burrow deep into your, like when you try to pick them yes. out, they fucking burrow deeper. It's disgusting. So she stumbled across a boat, which at first she thought was a mirage, but got close enough to touch it, and it turns out it was real. And then nearby, she found a pathway cut into the jungle that led to a nearby shack with a palm leaf roof. Inside, she found a can of gasoline and began to pour it over her wounds. Something her father
have never thought.
Oh, I wouldn't have either. But she said that her dad had done this for a family pet when it was injured in the, you know, at Panguana. They had like rescued a whole bunch of birds and stuff. And I guess that's what you got on hand. It works really well at like disinfecting wounds and.
I would think it would poison
maggots.
My bloodstream, but.
I think that's like the least of your worries at that point. So she said the pain was intense and she said, quote, "As the maggots tried to get further into the wound, I pulled out about 30 of the maggots and I was very proud of myself." She remembered thinking she'd probably die out there alone in the jungle, and then she passed out. She woke up the next morning to the voices of 3 men. One article I read said that they were fishermen, and then, like, all the official reports said that they were loggers, so I don't know. But either way, it was their hut.
Fishermen, no, loggers who like fishing.
I don't know. Like, it could be either, I guess. They had a boat, but you also need a boat to get anywhere if you live in the rainforest. They were just as shocked to see her as she was to see them. She said, quote, "They thought I was a kind of water goddess, a figure from local legend who is a hybrid of a water dolphin and a blonde, white-skinned woman."
No, unquote. They didn't.
Well, apparently, that's like an actual thing. It has a name, and I forgot to look it up. It starts with like a Y, but it's like an actual like cryptid, which I'm like, that's very specific. A water dolphin, blonde, white-skinned woman.
Water
dolphin. I looked it up. I can't find the damn thing. It's like a
white skin.
It's like Yafet or something. Yafeti.
Amazon.
The Amazon.
Yafeti.
Baronaz.
Cryptid?
I don't know if it's cryptid. I think it's more like
what did you refer to her as?
A water goddess. A water goddess, hybrid, water, dolphin. Which is like, is there any other kind of dolphin than one that lives in the water?
Okay, when I put that in, it just comes up with her story.
I don't know. I was going to look it up, and then I got lazy.
All I can think, though, is that, like, she looks rough. So, like, I don't know if they could picture her as a water goddess.
She was very... Well, she had been swimming for days. She was like half swimming, half walking down the river.
Okay.
So she's like pops out the river
with like
wearing like this ripped sundress.
Oh, so I was thinking they found her in that hut for some reason.
She was in the hut.
Okay.
But I don't listen. I don't know. Yeah, no, they woke her up.
Okay. All right.
Maybe you don't even know.
Maybe she made that up. I didn't read her book.
Okay. I'm just taking the quotes from her book from the articles that had her quotes of her book.
Okay.
I don't have time to read a book.
No.
It literally takes me 2 months to read a book.
I told you my hack. I've read like 18 books.
I can't do audiobooks. I've already got my podcast lined up.
I know.
I can't do
it. I haven't listened to any podcasts.
See, I've been listening to a lot of podcasts. There's a really great one that I've been listening to about missing and exploited women.
That's depressing.
It is.
I've been...
but their stories need to be told.
I've been listening to The Sundown Motel.
What's that? Oh, is that a book?
Yeah. It's by Simone St. James.
Sounds sexy.
It's not. It's like... Oh. ghost story. Plus there's like missing women that have like through like...
It sounds depressing.
And like they're trying to solve these murders, but also they're seeing ghosts at this like haunted motel, and it's...
We should start a book podcast where we just talk about books that we're reading, and then for like the first 3 months it'll be me talking about the same book. Well, today on the 3 pages I read last week,
with all the work I had to do for the move, I was just listening to books. Yeah, that's all I could do.
That's what I do with podcasts.
And then Rich comes and talks to me, and I'm like, dude.
We're getting into a sex scene. Can you just, like, walk away for, like, a minute?
I can't find any good smut books that I like.
So, you know The Witcher, right? I've already talked to you about this a million times. You haven't watched it on Netflix.
Okay.
He's so hot.
Henry Cavill?
Yes. So, I'm reading the books, and I'm just like, where are the sex scenes? There's, like, hints of like sex where like at one point Yennefer's just like, hold me, Geralt, and I'm just like, yeah, you hold her tight.
You're so desperate,
like, come on. I want to hear all about it.
Though there's that like I don't know, like fairy book that everyone's reading,
ACOTAR stuff, the Court of
Thrones.
Yes, she's that one. Trying to get me to read that one too. Oops.
I
sorry, I said her name.
I hate any kind of like What's the word I'm looking for?
Fantasy?
Fantasy. I hate fantasy. I cannot get into it. My brain, I can't picture it. I can't like...
Like, The Witcher is my entrance into fantasy. So that's why she's like, it's not like a hard, you know, transition. And like, it was actually funny because like in like one of the episodes that we recorded like a couple weeks ago. Oh, it was last week when I was just like, oh, I watch a lot of TV. It's called escapism, bitch. Have you heard of it? She like texted me and she's just like, you want escapism? You got to read these books.
Yeah.
Let's do it because there's a lot of sex in those.
I can't. I don't like.
You don't like sexy books? Oh, it's no, the fantasy.
I do. I don't like fantasy.
Okay.
I hate it.
What if you listen to it?
I don't know. Maybe I'll try.
You should read them together.
I like thrillers. Like,
I know. I also like.
I love.
I like thrillers. I like horror books.
Yeah.
I want to be scared.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Yeah. Plus my illegal hack. I might go to jail one day.
Probably. Why don't you just buy a book?
Right? Why don't you just buy a book?
Okay. I have. I bought the whole Witcher series.
I
like paper books, though. I can't. Like, I've bought, like, 3 books on my phone, and I can't read them. Because I don't like... I'll fucking stare at that screen when I'm on Instagram for hours, but God forbid I look at my screen to read a book for 10 minutes. I read one page, and it goes... You've done your reading goal. And I'm like, thank God, that's done. Remember that book I told you about when we first started recording this podcast? And I was just like, I'm going to do a story on this guy.
Yes.
Still haven't read more than 60 pages of that book.
Well, that was a rough book.
It is extremely rough. And I just can't keep reading about necrophilia. It's a lot.
There are people that have like their Kindle readers and it like hooks to the side of your bed and it's an arm.
Oh,
and it's like
I saw that.
Right up in front
and
of you.
And then you have like a remote.
The remote, and then you're just laying in bed like with the blanket up to you.
That is like the definition of rotting.
No, I feel like
you would love that.
I would love that. I need like a day of that. Honestly, could you imagine just like locking the door? No one comes in here. Like, I'll have a little mini fridge. I have my bathroom.
You need a TV right there and put the fireplace thingy on it.
Yes. Crank my fan.
That sounds amazing.
Get deep under my covers.
Take an edible.
Yeah.
Take an edible. And then once the kid's in, you'll be like, yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I can never read very long. I always take an edible right before bed, which is, I also read before bed. So then, like, once I start reading the same sentence over and over and over again and giggling, that's when I know it's time to go to bed. They said Yoruga.
Anyway, if I could have like a thriller romance.
Like Twilight?
No.
No.
Well,
that's not a thriller. It's a romance.
It's
I don't icky. Know. I feel like it's for teenagers.
Yeah,
or
I did read all of
young
those
adults
when I was a young adult.
You know, it's a really good. It's more like detective-y, but like some of them get kind of dark. The In Death series by J.D. Robb is like really good. I actually have like a whole bunch of the paper books that you can borrow. They're really good, and they have like real good sex scenes. If you're into that.
Maybe.
It's like and like the couple is like, ew, the guy. Oh, no. Sorry. I was just like, now that I'm thinking about it, I think the man sounds a lot like your husband.
Ew.
I know. He's tall. He's dark haired. He's Irish.
He is Irish.
I guess Rich is probably.
Rich is Irish.
Oh, really? I thought he was Italian.
He's Italian and Irish, yes.
God damn it.
German.
We've ruined everything.
Yeah.
Now I can never read about Rourke again.
That's his name?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Rourke. Very Eve Dallas and Rourke.
To Rich.
Ruined everything.
He does ruin everything.
He did make you a killer sandwich, though.
Yeah.
That was
I mean,
so
there was
sweet.
No lettuce on it, but, you know.
He made you a sandwich.
Whenever I ask Matt to make me something, he goes, you have legs. I know. 3 years of marriage and this is what I get.
Has it been 3 years?
It will be 3 years in August.
Holy no.
Right?
Can't be.
2021. Yeah, 3 years. In August. So we're at 2.5.
Okay.
I always overestimate. Or round up.
I've been married for 5 years.
You only got married 2 years before me? 2019. Yeah, I guess you did. Wowzers. Are you guys doing a vow renewal? This is a huge divergent. Is that a word?
Divergent?
Whatever. We're off topic.
I would love to have another wedding, honestly.
What is wrong with you? You know what I want to change about my wedding? Not having it. We should have just eloped like he wanted to.
No, I loved my wedding.
Yeah, your wedding was dope.
And it was beautiful.
I got so drunk that night.
I didn't.
God, we had so much fun in that hotel room.
You guys were in the same hotel as us, too, weren't you?
I think so. Yes. I think so.
We had like a one-year-old, too.
Yeah. And everyone was like, we will take her. You know, you guys spend the night together. And you're like, no, I want to be with my baby.
Well, I was getting ready to go on my honeymoon for like, I was going to be away
Goodbye,
from her for a week.
Child. She'll be fine. You guys are together now.
Yep. Anyway, can we get back to your story?
God, Will. Where were we?
Get it together.
Okay. Fishermen, loggers, the hut, the water goddess.
Yes. Yep. Okay.
We all recall. So, she scared the shit out of them. But thankfully, Julianne's parents had taught her Spanish. So she was able to tell them in their native tongue, my name is Julianne. I'm a girl who was in the Lanza crash. I was going to go above and beyond and say it in Spanish. But then I was like, no, Raul. Because I couldn't figure out the Peruvian dialect. And okay. I didn't want to offend anybody. So just my intention was there.
Okay.
It just didn't happen. And that's fine.
I didn't even think about it. You're like getting really defensive.
I was like, wouldn't that be cool if I said in Spanish? And Tamara was like, wow, that's a really good accent, Raul. Anyways, so the men let her stay in the hut another night. And the next day, they took her on a 7-hour journey by canoe to a local hospital in a nearby town. All in all, this 17-year-old girl spent 11 days on her own in the Amazon rainforest after falling 10,000 feet from the sky. She was treated for her injuries and was reunited with her father, who was overjoyed that at least his only child survived the crash. They still had, like, kind of a rocky relationship just because, like, I think she's... I didn't read the book, but I'm pretty sure I read in one of the articles about her book that he wasn't, like, resentful that she survived, but he was very sad that he couldn't have both of them, you know. You know, they were, like, right. In love. They were just, like, partners in nature, you know? Anyways.
I don't know. If I had to choose between my husband and my kid, I'd choose my kid every time. And I'm sure
if
he would also.
If I had to choose between my husband and my kid.
Is your kid Murphy?
Yes.
Okay.
I guess Matt. Oh, God.
You're crying.
This is know. Ridiculous. My brain is so fucked up. I will just like immediate. Okay. So the other day I told you Murphy ate a bone in the yard. I literally laid in bed for like an hour thinking what's going to happen when Murphy dies. Like I'm like planning out what I'm going to do with his remains. I'm like, is that I don't want him to like just be like dust in a box on my mantle. So like I want his body back. But I also don't want to, like, bury it in my backyard because then what if I step on that spot that he's buried and I smush his little body and then I couldn't stop thinking about him rotting in the ground and his little, like, his little skin being eaten away by bugs. And I just thought if I stepped on that piece of ground and the ground moved, then I knew that, like, Like, he was decomposing down there. I couldn't.
And then I thought, will they give me back his whole body?
I found a yes. company that will articulate his bones for me. And, like, make a really beautiful, his like...
His bones? You could just yeah. get him stuffed.
I don't want a taxidermy dog. They never get the eyes right.
He has a sleep mask on. You could put him in pajamas.
He's so cute. Well, I found this really cool company out of, like, Portland that will, like, you know...
You've done way too much research.
You send them the body. They have beetles eat the flesh and stuff. And then they will, like, articulate the bones and, like, surround them by, like, flowers and beautiful ribbon. And, oh, you know, a little bow tie going around a piece of hair. They'll even, like, take his little paw and, like, I guess they would taxidermy his paw. And I put it in there. Bow.
You have thought way too much about this.
He's my baby. He's my child.
I know.
Fuck everyone. He's my child. Okay. Okay.
All right. All right.
I love him like a child.
Okay.
I get so mad when I say that. Anyways, I just had to tell you how fucking insane I am.
Little bit.
All right. So, over the next few days, Julianne would help authorities locate the wreckage and the remains of the rest of the passengers. Of the 92 people aboard the plane, Julianne was the sole survivor. That's a song, right? No? Okay. Her mother's body was finally discovered on January 12, 1972, and it was determined that she was one of 14 passengers that survived the initial crash but succumbed to their injuries before they could be rescued. Which is really sad.
Oh, that probably kills her too, that she didn't find her.
Yeah, especially because she was looking. She wanted nothing more than to find her. I mean, just to like know that, you know, her mom died alone. Ugh. The cause of the crash was officially listed as an intentional decision by the airline to send the plane into hazardous weather conditions. And Julianne would later find out that the aircraft was made entirely of spare parts from other planes. And I have to wonder if there are other planes that were, of like, in accidents.
Probably. Yeah, it was probably all those grounded planes that they had. All those other
planes that were just gone. Yeah. And, yeah, so I guess, like, the pilots had the option of, like, diverting around the storm. Like, they could have done that. And they didn't because I guess they were being put under so much pressure to, like, stay on time with, like, the busy holiday week. Isn't that insane? Could have been prevented. Ugh. Go around the storm, not through it.
God.
Yeah. Even though Julianne still struggles with survivor's guilt and trauma to this day, she doesn't take her life for granted for a second. She went on to study biology at the University of Kiel in Germany in 1980, and received her doctorate degree. She returned to Peru to study mammalogy, specializing in bats, and got married to her husband, Eric Diller, a German entomologist who studies parasitic wasps. Power couple! What?
I feel like this is an episode of, like, House Hunters.
It's great. Oh, I bet their house is so cool. Like, little taxidermy bats everywhere. Little dead wasps. I don't know what parasitic wasps are. Is it just wasps with parasites?
Wasps that are parasites?
Huh, I don't know. It's worth a Google. But not now.
I was just about to do it.
She returned to the site of the crash in 1998 to help Werner Herzog film a documentary about her story called Wings of Hope. I did not watch this documentary because...
Werner Herzog is a real person.
Yeah, and apparently, like, I've seen his name before. I think he's, like, a big documentarian. I think he's, like, a big deal.
It's just a joke on TikTok, and it's, like, Werner Herzog's sad beige children. And it's just, like, a joke on how, like, all these, like, moms are, like, they only want to, like, decorate with, like, neutral colors, and they don't have anything colorful for their babies, so they call them sad beige babies.
TikTok moms are mean. God.
I don't know.
What does that have to do with Werner Herzog?
I don't know.
Maybe he liked to wear beige. It's a weird name for sure. She even sat in seat 19F on the plane, the same seat as the one she'd sat in on that fateful day. She described the experience as being therapeutic and that it gave her a sense of closure that she hadn't yet found. Julianne's father passed away in 2000, and she ended up taking over the Panguana Research Center as director. And as of right now, she lives a quiet life in Munich. Quiet, albeit busy, because she is serving as a librarian at the Bavarian State Collection of Zoology, in addition to carrying on her family's legacy of running the Amazonian Research Center.
She lives in Germany.
Yep.
She has lived in Peru.
Yep.
She runs an Amazonian...
Yep. She's constantly on planes. Back and forth. I know.
Wow. I have never even been out of the United States. Except for once I went to the Bahamas.
Oh, that's cool. I've never even done that. I've been to Indiana. If anyone would like to go. It's a lot of tumbleweeds.
Indiana. I have to go to Arizona.
It's going to be hot.
I hope not. South Arizona. And I don't even have my passport to go to Mexico.
Why do you need to go to Mexico?
Because I've never been out of the country.
Don't go to Mexico.
I want to go to Mexico.
What if you get, like, trafficked?
I'm going to go to, like,
I mean, I guess you can get trafficked place. In the United yeah. States. We're all terrible.
Yeah. I mean.
Do you need your passport to go to, like,
Mexico? Yeah.
Like Cancun?
Yeah.
Oh, well, shows what I know.
Yeah. Last time I was in California, I wanted to go to Tijuana because I was in San Diego.
I didn't even know you had a passport. That's cool.
I did then. It's expired now.
Ah, word. Why? Why'd you let it expire? Isn't it like so much more expensive to get it redone?
No idea.
I just would like to end on a quote from her memoir that I did not read.
Okay. We know.
We all know. Quote, "The jungle is as much a part of me as my love for my husband, the music of the people who live along the Amazon and its tributaries, and the scars that remain from the plane crash." End quote.
Wow.
Beautiful. How beautiful.
Except for all that husband stuff.
She loves him. And he likes his wasps and she likes her bats. It's so cute.
I'm not a romantic.
Have you heard that story?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes, I have.
Here, I thought I was telling you something new.
But I loved it.
Good. What was your story going to be? I guess you can't tell me.
It's a ghost story.
Ooh! Will this be our first ghost story?
Maybe.
I think so. Cool. Yeah. I'm excited.
You should be scared because it's really scary.
Is it the Winchester Mansion?
No. I've been there, though.
I'd love to go.
Yeah. I have a really horrible picture I have to show you one day.
Is there a ghost in it or are you just making a weird face?
Yeah, my face. 100%. I was 8 weeks pregnant at the time and my mom made me pose for a picture with a gun in my hand. And I was like, God, piss the fuck off. I was so angry at her.
Yeah, I think I would have been too.
And so I have this like picture of me holding a rifle and I'm wearing a visor.
Oh, because, like, Tamara.
I just like borrowed someone's visor. It was like really hot that day and I'm like sunburned and I'm like miserable.
Wow. Also, you're from Florida. Are you okay?
No.
You thought it was too much in California?
The sun! All right, bye friends.
Bye.